We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Hour number 3, just past 1 o'clock. This is where we do tell me something good. You got something good to share? It'd be awesome if you did. I would like to hear something. Nah, don't worry, too late. You got something good. 314.
It's Ryan Recker, Overnight America, anyway. And time for...
Tell me something good.
All right, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. That's the number to call if something good happened to you. Maybe over the weekend. Maybe you're looking forward to Thanksgiving. Could it be something good is about to happen to? Anticipating something good. I got a couple of good stories here. This one was from KMOX.com. Boys and Girls Club, I believe, or the Scouts, Boys and Girls Scouts of Greater St. Louis, nearly brought in the amount of this year's Scouting for Good collection drive. The council says Saturday's total was $1,970,000 for food pantries. Almost 2 million food donations for the pantries. Almost 2 million. If your scouting for food bag was missing, you'd like to add to the total, drop off non-perishables at MERS Goodwill location now through November 24th. So you got a couple more days. I got to admit, someone came through our neighborhood and put one of those bags on our door. I opened it up and it was on there pretty tight. And I thought to myself, I am not going to take the time to stand out in the cold to untie this thing. So I ripped it off my door handle and threw it away. Now, it's not to say I would have, you know, I'm going to kick myself for not donating. It's good. Anyone that donated is good. I got to be just Mr. Grinch here for a second. It was cold and I didn't want to stand there with the door open while I'm trying to undo this knot on my door handle. The person was too aggressive. So I just ripped the thing off. Then again, there's a lot of soliciting going on. I don't think twice about the things that are on there. If someone comes to my door and leaves something, it almost immediately goes to the trash. I don't even look at it. Too many solicitations. So at least the nice thing is there's not a lot of other Grinches like me out there. Nearly 2 million food donations going on. That is a good story. How about this one? Strangers at McDonald's sit down to share a meal. The unlikely pair were in Indiana. This is according to Fox News. Two strangers caught the attention of another customer named Amanda, who thought it was very nice, in Noblesville. They were dining at a fast food chain on November 8th when they were spotted an older woman known as Jan and a younger man named Eric joined her across the table. Shout out to this guy, the elderly lady, came up to him and asked if she could sit with him. Without hesitation, the guy said, of course. That's kind of cool, right? I like that this lady asked, how would you like to be sitting alone somewhere and someone comes up to you and says, hey, can I come sit? Would you like to talk? I think it's a risk. It's a risk worth taking. I've been at coffee shops before. No one's ever asked me once, hey, do you mind if I sit here? Doesn't happen. I've been at restaurants where I've eaten alone. Not once does someone come up and say, hey, do you mind if I take this seat? Now, a couple of years ago, I was at a radio conference. Oh, no, it was actually a podcasting conference. And I just decided to sit next to another podcaster and start talking to them. Why? Because, you know, it's a conference and everyone's there for the same thing. It's kind of fun to strike up conversations when you're there for a conference and you can talk about something you share a common sort of bond over. It's pretty cool. But not everyone's like that. I don't really do that all that much anymore. I don't know if I'd go to McDonald's and sit down next to a stranger. But I love that this woman, elderly, she didn't say how old she was, but you know, she's up there in age, decided she didn't want to eat alone today. And good for her and good for this guy to welcome her to the table. Says, my friends and I watch him introduce himself and shake her hand. They talked and laughed together like they were friends. They didn't know each other, and they couldn't be more different. But today, they shared a meal together and touched our hearts. Aww. They talk for about 45 minutes, then exchange numbers. Oh, in case you ever need me, give me a call. She goes to church every Sunday. We talked a lot about that. We talked about my girlfriend, my kids. She did not have any kids or a significant other. And that she mentioned of is what the Eric said. She's a firecracker. That's awesome. I love those stories. Striking up conversations with anyone random. Have you ever done that? You ever just sat down and had a conversation with someone? How did that go? Sometimes when I go out, if I'm alone, I kind of purposely want to have that ability to be alone. Plus, don't you plan everything out anymore? No, it's not on my schedule. I didn't plan to meet with anyone, so I'm just going to take this time to be alone while I can. It's kind of the lifestyle of a parent with a young kid. If you have an opportunity to be alone and sit in silence, oh, you take that opportunity. But maybe you're different. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And we'll say my wife is a lot better at that. She's part of these mom groups, so she's kind of forced to talk to strangers and other moms are part of these groups. Or if she goes to the park, she'll strike up conversations with the other moms that are over there. Not that they're going out all of late. You know, talking about mom stories, there was this one story of mom's being criticized for breastfeeding her daughter. Whoa. Well, wait till you see how old this daughter is. We're going to get to that next. In Overnight America, KMOX. There was a story on Fox News. What a story this is. Mom criticized for breastfeeding 9-year-old daughter. Apparently, the 9-year-old weaned herself off of it. 50-year-old woman, Sharon is her name. 9-year-old daughter, Charlotte, said continued breastfeeding just until recently. Wow. What do you do if you're in a situation where you know a parent's doing some harm to a kid? There's got to be some psychological problems going on, or at least setting that kid up for some issues in the future. That can't be healthy. Do you say something to the parents? Have you ever confronted another parent and tried to tell them what they were doing was not good? How did that go? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Or how about this? Have you ever thought about talking to another parent and then chickened out? That's probably more likely. You're like, I wanted to say something, but I never did. I didn't think it was my business. But do you even say something to a woman like this? Could you imagine going over to their house? It's like a little dinner party. You're invited, and they said, oh, come on over. Oh, we'll have you over for dinner sometime. Oh, that'll be great. We'll have some fun. You show up. Everything's all good. You have your kid there. She has her kid there, whatever, and they're playing. And then all of a sudden, the 9-year-old daughter, Charlotte, goes up to the mom saying, all right, mom, time for the feeding. And then she goes to the living room, opens up, and allows her to breastfeed at the age of 9. So she's a mom of 4, insisted feeding her daughter, Charlotte, until earlier this year. And she says it's completely normal as it brings a lifelong bond between them. This is not normal. Why does she think that's normal? Does anyone else besides her think it's normal? No, it's not. You got to say something, right? And what happens when the kid's in school? Does she pump and send milk in school? What happens? This is so uncomfortable. I don't even like being around women who are breastfeeding. Obviously, you want them to be able to do it with some sort of, you know, they want to be discreet in the way they do it. But if there's a situation where they're not, they're just open to it, I'm terribly uncomfortable with it all. And I think it's weird to have a guy around that's not your husband if you're breastfeeding. I think you should be more private to it. But then again, not everyone's like that. To me, it's, you know, if I'm ever around, I just divert my eyes or I leave the room or I try to excuse myself or whatever. But some people are fine with it, I guess. That seems way too old. 314-436-7900. Said, when I came to have Charlotte, I had decided on natural term weaning. It's nice for the child to be in control of when they want to wean rather than forcing the issue. Because we all know great parenting always starts when you do exactly what the kid wants. That's always the best parenting advice. Always do what the kid says. In fact, you should let the kid call all the shots in your house for everything that you do. She naturally weaned herself earlier this year. It was a gradual process. What do you mean? A 9-year gradual process? She was feeding about once a month if she wasn't feeling great or was feeling a bit run down. It wasn't going longer and longer without feeding. Once a month? You were allowing that? So the daughter just out of nowhere says, I feel like it today. I feel like it. It's kind of like when my kid eats vegetables. Oh, today's a day I'm going to eat a vegetable. Hey, all right, congratulations. Let's do this. Let's eat you. No, not natural for a 9-year-old to do that. You know, we talked about this when I filled in last week during Mark Reardon's program with Carol Daniel and Amy Markscourt. None of them thought that was natural or normal. As Amy pointed out, some pretty weird psychological issues you're setting that kid up for. It says, as she's been reducing anyway, I don't feel sad about it. If she would have stopped suddenly, I think I would have missed it, but it's just nice that it's come to a natural end. It's how I envisioned it would end. It was her choice and was done in a very gradual way. I don't know how the women's body works all that well, but if you're only doing that once a month, how is she still lactating? Normally, once you stop for that long a period, if you're doing it like between month periods, that's no, unless you were pumping or whatever. And then again, some women have a hard time even producing enough milk for their own child. How does she do this for 9 years without their drying up? I'm trying to say this in, I don't think that's like a technical term, but drying up. So it says that with Charlotte, it was about the security. Children find a lot of comfort, and the older they get, it's more about comfort rather than nutrition. Well, no kidding. How much does a 9-year-old can be fed after they get that big? And comfort. Man, you are really nurturing the wrong thing. Do you think this 9-year-old decided to do this when other of her friends were at the house? Hey, come over for a sleepover. Oh, you remember when you used to go to your friend's house? You'd ask mom and dad, hey, can I go over to so-and-so's house? We're going to have a sleepover. I'm going to sleep. You'd go over there, and like at least my experience was you'd stay up, you'd play video games. You might be able to catch a late night cartoon or whatever. Like in my case, I would always go to my buddy's house, and he had a satellite dish. And at night, we'd watch Beavis and Butthead, and we thought we were the edgiest kids in the world. Yep, watching Beavis and Butthead. Oh, we were, boy, were we living life on the edge. All things considered, Beavis and Butthead may be a tame cartoon today. In fact, they might even run it on Nickelodeon, the way things are so outrageous anymore. So we thought we were so, you know, big and, oh, we were such big kids. We're watching Beavis and Butthead. You know, you play video games and watch the cartoon, go to sleep, wake up. Whoever's house you were at, the parents would cook you breakfast, eat breakfast, play some more video games, wait for mom to come pick you up at the house. And that was a fun little night. Sometimes you'd throw an audible and might go outside and play some basketball or something or whatever it was. I don't know what would happen if one of my friends at the age of 9 said, I need to go feed real quick, and then goes to, with mom to start a breastfeeding session. That can't be right. Like, what? There can't be other people around when you do that. Wouldn't another parent have said something? If you were another parent and you saw that, you would have said something, right? I think so. All right. How about this? This happened last week, too, but I didn't get a chance to talk about it. From NBC. Let's see. Yeah, that one, other one was from Fox News, but this one's from NBC. The homeless man in New Jersey. Remember the whole thing that went back and forth? So this man gave her last money to this woman who was a damsel in distress, didn't have any money. Homeless man gave his last dollar. So she says, I want to do something nice for this homeless man. They end up raising a ton of money. I think it was, I don't know, well over $500,000. Oh, more than $400,000 to be the Good Samaritan for this homeless chap. Well, as it turns out, the couple made up the story, prosecutors say. The feel-good story that grabbed national attention was all built up on a lie and a scam, according to prosecutors. The couple, it's Mark D'Amico and Kate McCure, said they met the homeless man, Johnny Bobbitt Jr., and were charged with second-degree theft by deception and conspiracy to commit theft by deception for cooking up a ploy to dupe people out of their donations. If found guilty, they could serve up to 5 to 10 years in prison. So prosecutors allege that the couple created a GoFundMe campaign in honor of Bobbitt, whom they hailed for supposedly handing over a fistful of cash to help her when she was stranded on the side of the road. The trio manufactured a get-rich-quick scheme, one that turned into a cautionary tale. So apparently they came up with this and worked in the homeless man. Hey, we're going to use you as a prop. We'll get a lot of money from strangers online after we share the story, and then we'll split it. Well, eventually, they didn't split it. They kept the money. Homeless man was cut out of it. And he said, well, that money was supposed to be mine. So he ends up filing a complaint, suing her, whatever it is, gets a lawyer. And then they look into it and they realize maybe everyone here is wrong. He added that he believed Bobbitt was a veteran and homeless, but equally complicit. Prosecutors wouldn't say how much money of the cut Bobbitt was supposed to receive, but within a few months of the campaign's creation, all the money had been spent, $400,000. He spent it all that quick. If you're that smart to come up with a scheme like that, how can you be so stupid to be able to collect that much money and not realize that, hey, if you mess someone else up, that they're going to tell on you? Did they really think that he wasn't going to say anything and no one was going to believe him? Bobbitt's kindness drew donations from more than 14,000 people, earned $402,000. A lot of times, these GoFundMe accounts will be refunded when they find out there is a scam. I don't know if GoFundMe will be able to do it for something like this. I don't know if they sue the guy or the couple or whoever it may be. In September, GoFundMe promised Bobbitt that he would receive the rest of the money owed to him. Unclear if the fundraising site has already provided it to him or not. Ah, it's just pretty terrible. I got a couple of other stories I want to get to. Not having to do with a 9-year-old who continues to breastfeed. You see pilots reported seeing a UFO? Well, that's exciting. But we talk some space stuff. That could be fun. 314-436-7900 is the number. Have you seen a UFO lately? I haven't seen any ghosts around the old KMOX building lately, too, so that's a good story. That's good news. Maybe they moved on somewhere. This is Overnight America, KMOX. UFOs here, UFOs there, UFOs everywhere. Well, not quite, but that's kind of cool. See these things? Irish aviation officials are investigating two airline pilots who have reportedly seen an unidentified flying object off the southwest coast of Ireland last week. Well, I guess this might be 2 weeks ago now. November 9th, we're asking if there was a military scheduled in the airspace. The controller said there was nothing showing up for that evening. It was fast moving. It happened on our left-hand side, rapidly veered to the north. We saw a bright light, and then it disappeared at a very high rate of speed. Ooh. One of the, why can't I think of that word? It's the old X-Files theme song. There it is. I tried to go to the space website, and I went to a site that was not the space website on accident, and it took me somewhere completely uncharted. I might have to tell you about this in the next break if I could find the right words for it. When you find, sometimes go to an accidental website, it's, man, there could be some red alarms that go off inside of this work building. You type the wrong thing in. But it said in a statement to CBS News, the Irish Aviation Authority said in its reports that it'll be investigated under the normal confidential occurrence investigation process. What does that mean? No one knows. It means that they're going to try to hide it. It's a giant conspiracy, right? Or maybe not. What I do like is that there's still a lot of exploration that's going on in space. We have more rovers and things that are going to be landing here very soon. The Mars 2020 rover landing site announced later today, which is kind of exciting too. We have other rovers that are going to be landing in other places too. We got all kinds of cool stuff that's going to be happening here in the next couple of weeks. There's so much space news. And the sad and crazy thing about space news is once they announce something, sometimes it's years before they even get to the next moment where they could actually see pictures of it. But we're actually close enough. I think they're sending another rover to Mars that's supposed to be landing here pretty soon. Is it Mars or the moon? One of the two. But we're supposed to be getting some pictures back because that's going to be landing here soon. I don't think that it's going to account or amount to anything? Just is. It says in March, two airline pilots claim to see a UFO fly over the planes in Arizona's airspace. The FAA admitted they didn't know what was going on. It released audio of the broadcast, which we saw at some point. How about this? You want to talk about being a dunce? Bill Maher over the weekend, he posted this in his blog post. It's, and we know that Stan Lee passed away last week, the genius behind the Marvel Universe and all of the great superheroes that everyone loves and enjoys and profits from. And when Stan Lee died, there was all kinds of reaction, almost all positive. Mostly, it should be positive that way. Except for Bill Maher over the weekend, does his show. This is what he says. The guy who created Spider-Man and the Hulk has died. And America is in mourning. Deep, deep mourning for a man who inspired millions to, I don't know, watch a movie, I guess. Someone on Reddit posted, I'm so incredibly grateful I lived in a world that included Stan Lee. Personally, I'm grateful that I lived in a world that includes oxygen and trees, but each his own. What a snarky guy. How would you like? Go ahead, get into a room of nerds that have no physical attributes to them, but they would fight Bill Maher if they insulted Stan Lee after his death. He acknowledges that he used to read and like comic books when he was younger, but then said it was meant for kids. This is what else he said. He says, I'm not saying we've necessarily gotten stupider. The average Joe is smarter in a lot of ways than he was in, the 1940s when A Big Night Out was a Three Stooges short. And then it says, the problem is we're using our smarts on stupid stuff. I think it's a huge stretch to suggest that Donald Trump could only get elected in a country that thinks comic books are important. He said that when you grow up, you move on to big boy books without the pictures. All right, come on now. You know, the sad thing is when it comes to the comic books, there's graphic novels, there's superheroes, there's stories, there's video games. People, they have these hobbies and they build these communities around them. And a lot of times these storylines are complex and they're awesome, awesome storylines. You want to look at some of the Batman storylines. Those are pretty remarkable what they've been able to do with them. Now, given Batman's not a Stan Lee creation, but they did that with all of the others. And think of just the X-Men in general. What awesome storylines they've been able to put to that. And he was the one that thought about those things. Well, I know co-created in some cases, but he came up with this entire universe, this ecosystem. You're telling me you can't find creativity in that? And is that basically, does that mean all science fiction is worthless to Bill Maher? I don't know. I don't think he gets it. But then again, how many different hobbies out there do other people don't get? Like, I'm sure you have a hobby that some people just don't understand. You know, you might play card games. Oh, why do people do that? Oh, that's boring. Or there's all kinds of board games out there. There's a resurgence of people making board games at record length. It's unbelievable. You can go online and there's like Board Game Freak or Geek or something like that, and it ranks all these different board games. It's unbelievable. It's not just, your choice. You could play Monopoly, or we can play Sorry, or A Game of Chance, or Chutes or Ladders, or Connect Four. It's not like that anymore. It's not like it's just Parker Brothers inside of a Toys R Us. It's unbelievable how many different styles of games are out there. And whatever type of things you like, I'm sure there's a game around it. And people get together. It's a big social event for them. I don't know. I don't think you should be trying to dog on someone's hobby. If their hobby is enjoying comic books, as in like graphic novels and things, there's a difference between saying it's taking up all of your time in life and you're missing out on sleep and work and you have no social life. And you don't interact with other human beings or whatever, then yeah, that's one thing. But then there's the other thing. You know, it's basically, they're short stories. They're great. There could be great storylines there, and they could be enjoyable. And you might be able to get something out of it. There might actually be a message in there. So, I don't know. I think Bill Maher, using the timing of Stan Lee's death to throw that commentary out there, not so great. Not so smart. Oh, here's another story. This is going on over in Europe right now. Google News may actually shut down their European Union plans. And they might do this based on their charge to tax for links. Isn't that crazy? They signed this legislation over there and they thought, well, we're going to find ways to make sure The content creators over there are getting paid for their work. Well, of course, like any other thing a politician touches, it gets all screwed up. Google's top news executive, they've refused to rule out shutting down Google News in the EU countries. Why? Because the search engine's vice president of news said it's not desirable to shut down services to the company deeply concerned about the current proposals. He told The Guardian that the future Google News could depend on whether the EU is willing to alter the phrasing of the legislation. We can't make a decision until we see the final language. So what does it mean? If you do anything, including linking to other news publishers for their articles as part of your search results, you'll have to pay a tax for those links. Isn't that insane? Here in the United States, they actually thought about doing something like this, but it got squashed very quickly, rightfully so. If you're over there in the European Union, and the idea is, oh, you, if you put up a headline with a link somewhere else, you're profiting off of them. Think of like Drudge Report, who's only links. They're trying to find ways to tax websites that even link to other websites. Think of it too, the destroyer of memes. Do you enjoy memes when you're on Facebook or social media where you'll see something that you know what it is or whatever, a reference point, and they put some words over it? It's a pretty popular style of internet art. I guess you can call it art in its own fashion, mostly commentary things. But they transform these pictures of anything, and they put some words over it. And it's normally pretty funny if you like that sort of thing, and people share the popular ones or whatever it is. But not anymore. The European Union will shut all those things down. They'll just tax you if you're not the copyright holder. Here's part of the problem we have here in the United States. You might think, oh, that's not a bad thing, right? Don't you want people that own a copyright to be able to control the things they put out there? Well, let's look at how that could be abused here in the United States. We see it all the time on social media networks, including YouTube. It's a very popular thing. Here in the United States, you're protected if you have a transformative work, as in if you take something and transform it to make it into something different. One of the things you may be hearing for a transformative work would be, oh, I don't know, news, okay? So one of the reasons why there are protections for this sort of thing is because a company can't say, well, you used our brand name in a negative way. We don't like that you reported on our company negatively. So we're going to sue you because you didn't have permission to use our company's name. That's trademarked, copyrighted, and you used it, so it's infringement, and you're not allowed to talk about our company in this fashion. You know, you're protected because if it's newsworthy, there are protections there. Same things when it comes to criticism. What if you are reviewing a movie or reviewing a song or reviewing an article or reviewing the news or reviewing something, and you're actually the main content of what you're doing is your review, and you use part of that in order to illustrate your review. You're not showing the whole thing, but you're using a part as in to criticize it. You're allowed to do that. But what happened here in the United States, if we decided you're not allowed to do that anymore, you know how much you'd be cutting out? Nothing would exist anymore. I mean, think about all the other creators that use the freedoms that we have here in order to create really wonderful things on the internet. So they struck that down here in the United States, and rightfully so. And you know it would be abused. All of these systems will abuse it. Like YouTube, they completely abuse it. They do a terrible job of disseminating the things that are lawful and not. Terrible job. Well, over in the United Nations, they will also not only do a terrible job, but they'll just tax you. They'll just fine you, tax you, whatever it is. Yeah, that's what we need, more internet tax. Ugh. Maybe it's a good thing Brexit happened over for the Brits. Get out of that system as fast as you can. Yeah, I feel bad for all the guys. Anyone that uses the internet over there, they're about to find out very quickly that they're going to have to get a VPN, make it so they can access the internet anonymously, so hopefully they can get around some of this regulation. All right, this is Overnight America, KMOX. I had to look an update on there. I just heard that commercial for the chess championships. Kind of forgot about it. Fabiano Caruana. It's a great name. a St. Louis native here, or at least lives here. I think he grew up in Jersey or something like that. But being a big chess hub St. Louis is, just had to check out the latest. I'm going to give you a spoiler alert if you had this DVR'd from earlier. So the best of 12 game match is knotted at 3.5 all after seven draws, each of them earning half and half. So 3.5 one side, 3.5 another. So they're playing 12 chess matches. They draw every time. Wow. Go, Gadget, go. Fabiano Caruana. If he can win this, I think he's ranked number 2 in the world. And if he could beat the number 1, Magnus Carlsen, then I think that would make him the number 1. And based on chess rules, I believe this is how it works, he's allowed to punch Magnus Carlsen in the face one time with, he's allowed to grip onto a roll of quarters when he does it. I think that's how it works. Game 7 drawn to another draw. So far, all 7 have been a draw of 12. And what barn burners, man. They go at it for hours and hours and hours. Could that same thing happen on Monday? We'll have to find out. Ooh, you know, they have the video up on YouTube. Let's just replay that for the next hour here on Overnight America. Well, it's way longer than an hour. Here's a story that popped up. San Francisco's biggest companies are now forced to pay a homeless tax. And this is where I think St. Louis could play a big card, which is, why don't you just move your tech company here to St. Louis? Why don't you do that? So voters in San Francisco approved a new corporate tax that will raise $300 million a year from the city's largest companies and direct that money towards homeless services. Proposition C went through, not a huge surprise, but it was thrown up by Mark Benioff, who's the co-founder of Salesforce. He's a weasel. I do not like him whatsoever. Big weasel. Don't trust him farther than you can throw him type of guy. Now, in the grand scheme of things, you may think, hey, what's so wrong with raising money for the homeless? What's so wrong with that? So it's a big win. Thank you, San Francisco. We found tweeting them and things. Well, as it turns out, his company is going to pay next to nothing the way that they wrote this. That's why he's a big proponent of it. And then you have companies like, well, I don't know, Twitter, who's going to end up paying lots of money, lots and lots of money. So this Mark Benioff guy from Salesforce donated $7.8 million in personal and corporate money to get this proposition out there. The city's tax code means that Proposition C will hit financial service companies such as Dorsey Square and competitor Stripe disproportionately. Salesforce would pay around $10 million a year. And then according to, even though they're a larger company, Square's one-third the size of Salesforce will end up paying 2 to 10 times as much as that. Companies with more than $50 million in gross annual receipts will now be taxed on any gross annual receipt revenue in San Francisco. This is what St. Louis should be doing right now. You reach out to those tech companies and say, we have one of the fastest growing tech cities in the country. I think we're number 2 in the nation, fastest growing tech cities. We got tech startups left and right. Go ahead and talk to Jack Dorsey over there from Twitter. Tell him, hey, you like St. Louis, you're going to be paying, what, let's say it's twice as much, so $20 million, upwards of $100 million a year, $100 million a year, $50 million a year, whatever it is. You're going to pay that? You're going to have to pay all this extra money, or why don't you just save the money and move out of San Francisco? Period. The end. Come back to St. Louis. We know that you're expanding and you're hiring more people in the area for your tech company. Do it. Just take the whole company here. Let's get done. And as much money as St. Louis was willing to pay Amazon to leave, to open up their second headquarters here, we know they could put a nice little compelling package together. Let's draw them out of there and say, okay, go ahead. You can pay tens of millions of dollars every year in this tax, or you can just move. Not only save the money, but here's the extra incentive. Come to St. Louis. Be part of the biggest growing tech center in the country. They don't have to do it just to Square. They don't have to do it just to Twitter. They can do it to any tech company that's out there. Let's get them moved out. What a great advantage for all these other convention or all of these bureaus, the business areas and the districts and the people that work to try to attract new companies. Man, what an awesome advantage these guys have. Well, you don't have to pay this giant tax disproportionately. Oh, yeah, and the guy that was fundraising for it somehow gets a big break. Big surprise. So here's another thing that grabbed my attention from the New York Times. Toxic is the word of the year. Oxford Dictionary has chosen toxic as its international word of the year, selecting it from a short list that includes such politically inflected contenders such as gaslighting, insult, and techlash. Techlash, huh? It's a good word right there, techlash. So it's been around for a while, this word toxic. It's chosen as the word of the year because it reflects the mood or preoccupations of a particular year, but also highlights that English is always changing. Last year's winner, conversation starter, was youthquake. Year before that, post-truth. Toxic is a Greek word meaning poison for arrows. First written about, apparently, a reference in 1664, a book about forest, have it in there. Concerns about literal toxins expanded. Things really took off in the 1980s with self-help books. 1990s, Toxic Debt. 2003, Britney Spears released the song Toxic. Toxic is an old and very common word. It has expanded usage. So I had to look up some of the other words on the short list there. BDE. I had to look that up. It means military, I guess. I don't know. There wasn't a lot of explanation for it the way it was on there. And also, Ariana Grande used it in a now tweet about her ex-fiance. I don't know. But that's the word of the year, toxic, I guess. You know, non-toxic is always a good thing when you're looking for toys for your kids. It's kind of like the old Play-Doh. Non-toxic, huh? Okay, I guess we're good. Got a couple of dog stories for you. Well, one's actually a monkey story and one's a dog story. How about we do this one? Florida monkeys possibly carrying deadly herpes virus to double in population size by the 2022. Isn't that something you'd expect to see out of every morning zoo? Deadly herpes virus carried by monkeys in Florida will double in size in the next 6 years or so. 4 or 5 years, I should say. While the monkey population has drawn tourists to Florida for years, a recent study found that without wildlife management, the population could double, possibly be dangerous to humans. Who's traveling to Florida for monkeys? Like when we went down for our honeymoon, my wife and I went to the Florida Keys. We flew down there and we had to fly to Miami and drive. We rented a car. Ugh. Rental car in Florida. Ugh. You know, they got so many issues down there in Miami. Like, you know, there's ants in the trunk and stuff. They just can't keep this thing. Everything's so wet and moist and stuff. It's just like a breeding ground for all that stuff. So we get this and we had to complain and we got a different car, whatever it was. So we start driving down to the Keys and we start seeing like signs, oh, monkey jungle over here. There's like attractions, tourist attractions in that area. I didn't know that was a thing in Florida. And still, I don't think, when I think Florida, I think alligators are a big problem. Where we stayed in the Florida Keys, we drove to a dolphin sanctuary that was pretty popular, I guess. The guy that created Flipper created it out of the money to try to help dolphins and things. But I don't know. I think gators, and I think Disney World. That's what I think down in Florida. So watch out for that deadly herpes virus carrying monkeys running around. Now that's a scary headline if I've ever read one. I'll have to save this other dog story here for a little bit. You know, coming up in the next hour, my interview with Charlie Brennan. We talked radio. It's kind of cool, right? I love talking radio with Charlie. So we're going to share that conversation with you. Also, Alan Adamson with a book out called Shift Ahead looks at certain brands, the good, the bad, the ugly. That's all coming up next hour. Overnight America, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.